Good evening, Zimbabwe. You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington this Tuesday, July the 5th, 2016. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Marvelous Mplanga Nyahuye.
And I'm Chris Gande.
And here are our top stories this evening.
The situation is calm but tense in Harare following riots in the city yesterday, with residents now preparing for a mass stay away tomorrow.
I think that the country is ignited, that the people are responsive to the call to express their unhappiness with the state of affairs in the country.
Zimbabwe People First leader Joyce Mujuru calls for fresh elections in Zimbabwe amid peaceful protests in the country.
In the view of these myriad problems, we challenge Robert Mugabe to call for fresh elections.
Protesters forced Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa to sit in a taxi for more than an hour.
And MDC leader Morgan Tsvangirai says he is recovering from cancer of the colon.
These stories and much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The national strike by government workers started today and is expected to gather momentum tomorrow, when citizens are expected to join it in what has been dubbed a national shutdown day by political analysts around the country. There was limited or no services at schools, hospitals and government officials. Some civil servants stayed home or simply reported for duty but were not working. Ivan Chifera has more details from Harare.
Some schools, especially those in areas rocked by violence yesterday, were deserted today, while at major health institutions like Parirenyatwa and Harare hospitals, services were limited, with no doctors and a few nurses attending to patients. Some of the workers, who refused to be named as they are not allowed to speak to the press, said Parirenyatwa Hospital discharged an unprecedented high number of patients yesterday and today as the strike began. Doctors had completely downed tools, and when Studio 7 visited the hospital in the afternoon, some sections had closed down while others had very few patients. Though most pupils in Harare's southwestern suburbs attended school today, authorities told them not to come to school tomorrow. Cecilia Alexander, chairperson of the Apex Council, a body representing government workers' associations, said the job action was successful but was worried that some political activists were planning to hijack the strike tomorrow. She said theirs was purely a labor issue. However, Promise Mkwananzi of Tajamuka Sesijikile movement said they are ready for tomorrow.
I think that the country is ignited. The people are responsive to the call to express their unhappiness with the state of affairs in the country. And I can tell you that the response is overwhelming. We expect people to respond very positively to the initiative that we have put in place to ensure that we express our unhappiness with the state of affairs, the misgovernance of the country, the level of corruption, the disappearance of 15 billion, the long incumbents of President Mugabe, among other issues.
The Zimbabwe National Liberation War Veterans Association added a positive voice to the mass protest, saying they are fully behind the people. The former freedom fighters called for calm during the peaceful protest. Association spokesperson Douglas Mahia urged political parties to tell their supporters to be calm and churches to pray for peace.
We encourage all religious leaders to encourage the congregants to engage in prayer and fasting for God the Almighty to intervene to avert disaster or, you know, loss of property and whatever. All people with influence over any sizable groups of people should use their influence to avert any forms of escalation of violence.
He said it was imperative for government to listen to the needs of the electorate, adding it was unfortunate that government ministers are not concerned about people's problems.
We also want to urge government to hear from the people or sections of society that are registering dissatisfaction to the services of government. People do not want tailor-made solutions to social and political problems.
At the same time, several companies have told their workers to stay home tomorrow Others, like Theatre in the Park, said they had cancelled tomorrow's show for the safety of the actors and audiences.
For the safety of our artists and audience, we have cancelled the show. As you know, the show is coming from Bulawayo. The artists are coming from Bulawayo as well. So it is also safer for them to stay in Bulawayo until the situation in the country is, we feel that it's now safe to do the show.
Police have warned people against taking the law into their own hands, saying anyone who breaks the law would be arrested. Today, police maintained roadblocks at roads leading into the city center, and buses that ferry civil servants were manned by armed police officers. Indications are that the ruling ZANU-PF party's politburo is expected to meet tomorrow. The highest organ of the party outside Congress is scheduled to discuss the current state of the nation, among many other issues. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chipera.
Social media has been flooded with messages urging Zimbabweans to stay home tomorrow ahead of a proposed mass protest against current problems bedeviling the country. Some of the people calling for a complete shutdown of businesses are Pastor Ivan Mawarire of This Flag Movement and youth group calling themselves Tajamuga Sesijigile. In a video circulating on WhatsApp and Periscope, Pastor Mawarire says the shutdown is designed to force President Robert Mugabe's government to respond to the needs of Zimbabweans. Our reporter Patricia Mdadigwa speaks to people in Harare about the proposed shutdown.
While the situation was calm today in Harare Central Business District, some local residents interviewed by Studio 7 expressed mixed feelings over the proposed complete shutdown of the nation. One of the residents, Isaac Watsomba, said he has not yet made a decision on whether to go to work or stay home. Watsomba, who works for a private company in the Central Business District, said he will assess the situation before making a decision on the mass action.
It's not easy to say somebody is coming to work or is not coming. It all depends on the day when you wake up early in the morning, because people, they fear of their life that something might happen. And if you come to work, maybe later on, there is no transport to go home. That's another problem.
However, the majority of the residents who spoke to Studio 7 said they will join the stay away. 27-year-old Jeff Chaiteshi, who claimed that he holds a master's degree, said despite the violence that characterized the protests in Harare yesterday, he has no option but to take part in the mass protest since he's currently unemployed.
We are not afraid for anything. We are ready for what is happening tomorrow, even the police. We are going to check the edge. Enough is enough.
Another resident, Yvonne Musarurwa, who is a vendor, told Studio 7 that while not selling her wares would be a huge loss to her and her family, who depends on her sales for survival, she supports those that are calling for the shutdown, and tomorrow she will be suspending her vending business.
I'm not going to come to work tomorrow. As a citizen of Zimbabwe, I do respect those who are calling for a shutdown for tomorrow. Maybe we are going to be able to access our monies from the banks. Maybe Mugabe is going to step down.
Tongai Mazdo, a Budiriro resident, said many people in Harare spend the whole day today encouraging each other not to go to work tomorrow. Mazdo said he fully supports the peaceful complete shutdown of the nation and hoped that President Mugabe would listen to their grievances.
I'm going to urge all my workmates not to come to work, for us to demonstrate, to show that we are hungry. Also, our children are suffering because of him.
Efforts to contact presidential spokesperson George Jaramba were fruitless, as his mobile phone was not reachable. ZANU-PF spokesperson Simon Kayamoyo declined to comment. Section 59 of Zimbabwe's constitution states that every person has the right to demonstrate and to present petitions, but these rights must be exercised peacefully. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Patricia Mudadigwa.
At the same time, former Vice President and opposition leader Joyce Mujuru has called for fresh elections amid public anger and protests over the country's deteriorating economic situation. Thomas Chiripasi reports from Harare.
Mrs. Mujuru told a news conference held at her Harare residence today that President Mugabe should dissolve government to pave way for fresh elections to contain the country's economic crisis.
In the view of these myriad problems, we challenge Robert Mugabe to call for fresh elections now to get a new mandate. If he thinks people have forgotten his promise of 2 million jobs, and people must know that people first. We are the future. We have the solution.
She said the government's recent import ban on basic commodities that triggered massive protests in the border town of Beitbridge was symptomatic of a government that has failed to provide answers to the plight of suffering Zimbabweans.
We note with concern the unfortunate and ill-timed decisions by the government to ban imports of basic commodities. The importation of basic commodities was providing the livelihood without meeting the gap caused by lack of local industrial production. This is even mistaken when there is rampant unemployment at over 80%.
Amid rising anger among Zimbabweans and spontaneous protests that are being held in some parts of the country, Mrs. Mujuru called on the police and other law enforcement agents to exercise restraint, saying Zimbabwe's constitution allows citizens to engage in peaceful demonstrations. She said there was no need for any heavy-handedness on the part of authorities, as Zimbabweans are yearning for an answer to a myriad of problems that they are currently facing.
Police should protect the demonstrators, and everyone should know that demonstrators are the people. And don't forget, those demonstrators are the government.
Mrs. Mujuru's appeal for peaceful demonstrations comes at a time when some groups have called for a 3-day mass stay away that is expected to start tomorrow. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Meanwhile, the Zimbabwe Nurses Association says nurses are failing to go to work following government's delays in paying their June salaries. Association Secretary General Enoch Dongo tells Studio 7 the $100 allowance given to nurses was eroded by bank loans and other expenses. Dongo says government needs to urgently address the issue as patients will bear the brunt of the impasse.
It's not like the nurses are on strike, no. Are failing to go to work. They don't have money for transport. They need money for rent. They also need money for other activities of daily living, you know, the money that is needed for you, for the upkeep of nurses. So if things were okay, the government give us that money, that is July money now or today, everything will normalize. This is the real one to go to work. You know, psychologically, you can't help a patient. When you are not psychologically stable, you need to be stable for you to help the sick. The challenge that we have at the moment, the biggest challenge. And if you try to force yourself to go to work when you are not stable, you can be harmed to a patient or even to yourself. Yes, the government, they've tried, they deposited the $100, but almost 99.9% of nurses have got loans with the banks. And so that money was taken by the loans.
Have you been trying to re-engage with government to see if they can take a different stance before July 14th?
Yeah, we engage the government, but as you know, in this country, things are not moving well. Government explained to us that they don't have money. They cannot pay us before 14 July, and that's where the problem is.
And which would you say have been the areas that have been most hardest hit?
The most hardest hit areas are towns, Harare, Bulawayo, Masvingo, Mutare, Beru, Chinoyi.
That was the Zimbabwe Nurses Association Secretary General Enoch Dongo speaking with Studio 7 in Harare. Meanwhile, church groups in the Southern Africa region of the country issued a statement saying they are concerned about the police heavy-handedness on protesters. The import ban on basic commodities, pending introduction of bond coins, large number of police roadblocks, and lack of payment of civil servant salaries.
MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai says he's recovering well following his disclosure that he has cancer of the colon. Tsvangirai has already been receiving chemotherapy in South Africa. He speaks with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu about his health condition.
Well, you know, it's a program that affects people differently. I'm lucky to have recovered from the initial shocks. I'm now on a steady recovery, and I don't see anything unusual in my treatment. So I'll make an evaluation after two. But otherwise, everything taken into stride, I'm making progress.
Have you been back to work since, or you are still on the path to recover?
Well, how do you, on one hand, you are being treated, on the other, you are back to work? No, I'm not yet back to work. I'm still at my initial stage of treatment. So, work-wise, that's another consideration. But I'm fine. You know, our type of work is that you work from home, you consult wherever is necessary, you allow those that are there to do their work, and that's the progress we want to see.
Yeah, and are you happy with the way the work is being handled so far by your lieutenants?
Yeah, I'm satisfied with the leadership that is being provided, and I'm sure that they will continue to provide that leadership.
Some of your critics were already saying maybe it's time for Mr. Tsvangirai to step down and focus on his health. What's your response to that?
Well, do we really conclude that if somebody is sick, necessarily that he's out? Can we be so conclusive that when people fall sick, therefore, that's the end of the story? We don't work like that. Sickness is a temporary affliction that one person can overcome. How many people have fallen sick and have recovered from their treatment? And what has that got to do with handing over leadership? What has that leadership to do with the sickness?
And that was MDCT leader Morgan Tsvangirai speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu. We will air a second part of this interview tomorrow. Don't miss it.
Coming up,
a doctor's strike paralyzes health sector in Zimbabwe.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The Federal Bureau of Investigation Director James Comey said Tuesday the FBI believes no charges are appropriate in the case over whether Hillary Clinton mishandled classified information while serving as Secretary of State.
Iraq's interior minister has offered to resign, a part of the political fallout from Sunday's devastating attack in Baghdad.
And aftershocks from Britain's vote to leave the EU have spread to Eastern Europe, where nationalist movements say the British decision is giving strength to their campaigns against EU migration policies.
The Hospitality Association of Zimbabwe says the tourism industry is on a downward trend, registering a 5% drop in bookings between last year and March this year. The association has attributed the slump in business to the prevailing harsh economic situation in the country, fueled by a large number of police roadblocks and crippling cash shortages. Our reporter Lloyd Amoyo has more details from Mutare.
George Manyuma, president of the Hospitality Association of Zimbabwe, told Studio 7 in an interview that as a result of these challenges, more than 200 members of his association are facing a bleak future.
DR, which is average daily rate, has dropped, and it dropped by about 5%, 2015 to 2016. In terms of the ADR, revenue per available room, it was a drop from $39 to about $36. Then in terms of occupancies for Q1, which is January, February and March, there was an increase of occupancy from 41% to 42%. But my worry now is when I look at the figures for May and June, we have had a drop. This is when we started encountering the cash crisis. So I'm anticipating a drop.
Manyuma said the situation is worrying.
We also saw a drop in the average room rate, as well as drop in revenue per available room from about $39 in 2015 to $36 in 2016. Industry occupancy for Q1, which is quarter one, went up by one percentage point from 41% in 2015 to 42%. This is just an overview of the tourism industry performance for Zimbabwe.
He said some of the challenges faced by the sector can be overcome.
The challenges that we are encountering as an industry, when I was coming from Harare going to Mutare, we had 21 roadblocks. And I can imagine if tourists are going to the Eastern Highlands and they are stopped the way we were being stopped, I don't think it's good for our tourism industry. The other challenges that we also have is, you know, our borders. Let's go to Beitbridge border. You spend 11 hours on the border trying to cross. And can you imagine any regional tourist crossing to Zimbabwe? It's not feasible.
Manyuma further said his association has informed the relevant ministry about some of the problems faced by members of his organization. He said the cash crisis is hitting them hard.
He knows that we have really made reports on that, that we are not happy about that in the industry. Cash crisis as well. You can imagine I was in Vic Falls last week and I encountered quite a number of tourists who wanted cash in our ATMs and we didn't have money. And rightfully, they said, we are not going to stay even for a day. They returned back to their countries. I think we really need support on that.
Lazarus Dokora, while acting Minister of Industry and Commerce, recently blamed the current cash crisis on citizens who do not want to use plastic money.
Being addressed now is that in Zimbabwe, we use more than 85% of our transactions in cash and less than 15% in plastic money. In other countries, their total transactions in cash, they are 12%. And their plastic money transactions, they are around 88%. So basically what it means is we are using more of cash than any other country as compared to plastic money.
Chikanga Dangamvura, member of the National Assembly, Iso Fungai Mfumi, said the police roadblocks are a noble idea, especially now when there is an armed struggle in neighboring Mozambique.
Who are we to instruct the police to stop their operations? It's of a security nature. They know what they will be doing. And the reason why there is an increase in roadblocks, maybe there's something of security nature which we don't know.
Tourism Minister Walter Mzembi was not reachable for a comment as he was said to be attending crucial meetings. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mutare, this is Lweda Moyo.
More than 100 Zimbabweans in Britain demonstrating against the economic decay back home today forced the Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa to sit in a taxi in London for more than an hour when he tried to leave a money-raising conference. According to Zimbabwe Vigil Coordinator and Restoration of Zimbabwe Rights, Human Rights Chairperson for Central London, Fungai Mabunu, the demonstrators blocked a taxi that tried to whisk Chinamasa away from the conference venue. Mabunu says the demonstrators demanded to know what happened to the $15 billion in diamond revenue, which President Mugabe said disappeared. The minister and his team, which includes Reserve Bank Governor John Mangudya, is visiting Europe, where it has been meeting with business people and organizations discussing their interest to visit, to invest in Zimbabwe. People's Democratic Party President Tendai Biti was also attending the same meeting with Chinamasa. Mabunu tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri that the minister was clearly shaken by the peaceful demonstrations.
We are here at number 3 Noble Street. So what we are doing today, we are here to protest, you know, to tell the whole world that they are here to lie. So we're telling the world that with our $15 billion that has disappeared, the Zimbabwe economy, as you know, it has collapsed. You know, now they're trying to introduce the bond, not because Zimbabwe has no money. And the Mr. Chinamasa is coming here to come and tell the whole the lies that all is well in Zimbabwe. These are the very same people who have damaged the economy. So we're telling the whole world these are people who damaged our economy. So we interrupted his car. We intercepted his car in the morning. We approached him, and he was visibly shaken because we told him the truth that he was a murderer. Where is the Itai Dzamara? Where is our 15 billion? And why is that they've destroyed our country? The man was visibly shaken. He was whisked away through the back. Then during lunchtime, he was trying to come out, and we were trying to use the London black cab. Then we saw him. Then we intercepted the text again. Then people had just sitting in the road. So the car was stopped for almost an hour, 30 minutes.
How effective is your protest? Do you think it's effective?
Yeah, I think what we're doing is very, very effective because we managed to tell even the delegates as they were going in to give them the flyers and telling them the truth. And from what we have been told, the delegates were asking the questions of the information that we had given them to say, this is the truth. So the delegates were asking and were told that Chidamasa was dodging the questions all the time. So that's what we have done.
That was Fungai Mabunu, Zimbabwe Vigil Coordinator and Restoration of Human Rights Chairperson for Central London, speaking with Studio 7's Jonga Kantemiri. We also reached economist Godfrey Kanyenze of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe, who told reporter Jonga Kantemiri that he does not see Chinamasa reaping anything with the desperate attempt to try and find someone who can help his government.
Firstly, it is very clear that we are in desperate times, and the measures that are being taken are desperate. So this is a desperate attempt to try and find someone in pockets who can come in and assist. But however, I don't see the minister achieving much because there is already a clear roadmap that has been agreed by the international community that re-engagement with Zimbabwe, readmission of Zimbabwe into the international community of nations has to be based firstly on a very clear arrears clearance strategy. The government is in arrears in terms of its debt to the its repayments to the IMF, the World Bank, and the Africa Development Bank to the amount of 1.8 billion, which it has to clear. And the initial agreement was that it was going to be cleared by end of April this year, but now it has been extended to end of October. So the issue really is that there is already a very clear roadmap that has been agreed. So government has to, first of all, fulfill the conditions that have been set out.
Mr. Chinamasa was meeting with some business people in the organizations who you say have shown interest in Zimbabwe. Do you see them committing to invest in Zimbabwe soon?
You must be clear that discussions have always been taking place. But discussions are just that. They are discussions. They are explorations. People want to know when they meet the Minister of Finance, which direction the economy is moving. They want an update. So they would basically be very keen to get such an update. So it's an opportunity for the minister to basically explain how things are back home.
That was economist Godfrey Kanyenze of the Labour and Economic Development Research Institute of Zimbabwe on the phone from Harare with reporter Jonga Kantemiri.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. today, when host of The Connection, Dungameli Nkomo, will be talking with the listeners about the role of the youth in the current political unrest gripping the country.
If you wish to join the show, call us at 001-202-619-2077.
And now to recap today's top stories.
The situation is tense but calm in Harare following riots in the city yesterday, with residents now preparing for a mass stay away tomorrow.
Zimbabwe People First leader and former Vice President Joyce Mujuru calls for fresh elections in Zimbabwe amid peaceful protests in the country.
Protesters force Finance Minister Patrick Chinamasa to sit in a taxi for more than an hour.
That's our broadcast this evening. My name is Chris Gande. Good night.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.